Hello and welcome to Syngenta Growing Golf, the podcast about tomorrow's golf industry today. I'm Gary Firkins and I'm your host. Today I'm speaking to Mahaly Nemchuda, who is a turfgrass management student at Ohio State University at ETI. After a troubled upbringing in which she faced expulsion from school, left home early and became a mother at a young age, Mahaly has turned her life around. With the help of a superintendent mentor and a supportive partner, she is now succeeding at college and working as an assistant superintendent. I met Mahaly by coincidence at the GCSAA conference in 2023 and was inspired by her story. I'm sure you will be too. As always, we love to hear your feedback, so please do join the conversation at syngentagolf.com or via Twitter and LinkedIn. Enjoy the show. Mahaly Nemchuda, welcome to Syngenta Growing Golf.
Thanks, Gary. It's great to be here.
Now, Mahaly, we met at the GCSAA conference in Orlando, and we literally just bumped into one another at a Syngenta event one evening. Just tell me what you were doing at the conference and indeed how we got talking, because it's kind of quite a nice start to the story.
Yeah. So I'm studying turfgrass management at Ohio State University, ATI.
And we were down there for the conference. And we had all just had dinner at a really nice Italian restaurant. And we were all kind of parting our ways. And my professors have actually invited me to come to the Syngenta room at the conference. And I was kind of a little weary because I get a little shy. But I wanted to take the opportunity to network, so to say. And so we had got there and I was a little bit overwhelmed. There's a lot of people. And my professor was just like, go talk to people.
Well, when we got chatting, it was, I don't think I've ever been asked this at a networking event before, but it was a really, really good question. And you actually said to me, how do I network? And it was, but it was really interesting kind of start to, you know, to kind of our meeting, because I think I said to you something like, well, everyone in the room is probably a little bit nervous and trying to work out how they do things as well. But what was that experience like, you know, as you're studying in turfgrass, coming into that event, GCSAA event, coming into that Syngenta room, and there's a lot of people there and what have you. How did you find that experience?
Overwhelming, but rewarding. I live in Ohio, in Ashland, Ohio, and I'm from Mansfield. So we had our Ohio Turfgrass Conference just a month and a half before the GCSAA conference, and my mentor had asked me to moderate for him. So that was my first taste of kind of speaking to a big room of people or walking into a big room of people, but it was nothing like, you know, the Orlando conference. The Orlando conference was on a much bigger scale, so it was overwhelming. But once I kind of got pushed out there and I spoke to people and eventually met you, everybody was so welcoming and it was so rewarding to see, you know, like, this is why I'm into the industry, is because there's so many great people who would never turn you down no matter what question you have.
And we got chatting and it didn't take very many questions and answers. We had a lovely chat. You started telling me a little bit about your life story and how you came into the golf industry, how you came into turf, and how you've ended up studying as you are working as an assistant superintendent. And I wonder, Mahaly, if you would just explain a little bit of your background and your family story, because it's a very, very interesting story and somewhat inspiring as well.
Growing up was a little bit difficult. I have 8 siblings, so a little bit of an extended family. My mom's been on drugs for a pretty long time, so I've kind of taken on the caretaker role. And the area where I grew up in, Mansfield, Ohio, was not really the best of areas either. So I kind of took on that role as caretaker and trying to attend school at the same time, which that kind of, my role in school was a little bit of a downfall. You know, I did not do very well. I caused a fair bit of trouble, and you know, I was also up for expulsion a few times. So growing up was really difficult. And then I'd met my partner Colby, and very early on we had a daughter, and I was like, wow, it's my turn to kind of change things around. And you know, at that point in time, I'm just like, I just want a job that pays well so I can support my family alongside him. And so I was a stay-at-home mom for the first year. And then I started being a preschool teacher at my daughter's daycare that she still attends. And I did that for a year, more or less. And that kind of, that profession had its own hardships within itself. And, you know, I'd kind of told Colby, I was like, I need to find something different. But like, you know, this just isn't for me. And he had said, Eric, our superintendent, he's always looking for help. You know, just come give it a shot until you find something. And
this is because Kobe, your partner, works as an assistant to a superintendent at a golf course as well.
Colby works at Westbrook as the foreman. So that was my first introduction to the turf community.
And what was that like? So you got an opportunity, to go to the golf course and have a look. Was that the first time you'd been at a golf course?
Yeah, I didn't know much about the sport either. I just know that you hit balls, more or less. But that was the first time that I'd ever seen a golf course before, that I'd ever seen anybody play golf. But it was really exciting just because it's all surrounded by nature. It's just what you do to nature to make it look that way.
So that's an interesting response. So you weren't clouded by golf as, you know, a kind of an elitist sport. You know, it's what those people over there are doing. You went to the golf course and you saw this green space and that had an effect on you.
I remember asking my boss. It was my first year on the job. It was around, I had started in February, and it was around May, you know, end of the spring. And I asked him, I was like, what more could you do to make, you know, a golf course look better? And he was like, a lot. And looking back on that, I remember thinking, there's no way. I was like, you've altered this in every way possible, and it is as beautiful as it can get. And everybody here is so passionate about it. There's no way that this could be any better. Little did I know that there is a whole other world out there.
What were your kind of first experiences in work then? What was the opportunity, and what sort of work were you set?
So, you know, obviously learning how to run equipment such as mowers and things of that sort, and then doing maintenance in the shop, which beforehand, you know, I'd never touched a weed eater before. I'd never filled up a car with gas. You know, I didn't know how to choose a wrench. You know, all that was nothing that I knew about. So, you know, while I was doing all those new things, which were really cool, the coolest part was just there was something new to learn every single day. You know, like there was not a day that I showed up for work that I wasn't learning something. Even to this day, I'm always learning something.
And what was the, you know, the learning experience like then from the superintendent you were working with and the team around you? Because, you know, you'd come from a difficult situation in terms of education, where you know, because of your, you know, perhaps your background, it hadn't been easy. So what was it like suddenly being in this work situation with a boss and a team to work with?
Everybody was so welcoming. I mean, just as a pretense, you know, I knew all the guys who worked there before I had started. So we were all kind of friends and buddies. And, you know, like, we weren't kind of standoffish to each other and trying to learn personalities. That was kind of already out of the way. And then my boss, he's always been so supportive. And just to know, I turned down help so much growing up, especially in high school and middle school, just because of my situation. And I was a little bit standoffish towards everybody else. But going to an environment where it's something that I like to do, you know, I wasn't standoffish towards help. I actually wanted the help. And it was awesome to see how many people were willing to help, even at times when you didn't even ask for it. You know,
so give us a name check of your boss and some of those people who helped you in those, you know, in those initial days, because, and, you know, tell us how important they were to, you know, to kind of getting you settled into this profession.
Yeah. My boss's name is Eric Howarth. He's been like a father figure to me as well this whole time. And I couldn't ask for more support in the industry and just in my learning days than what he's given me. And then Colby Titus, he's my partner, and even to this day, I'm in my internship right now, and I'm driving an hour and a half every single day, working 10-hour days, and we have a 3-year-old daughter, and he couldn't be more supportive and willing to help me at every chance he gets. And, you know, that was known very, very early on into my career in turf because it was something he was also very passionate about.
So you'd had this opportunity to get started in turf. And then what happened? Was there an opportunity, I think you told me, to become an assistant superintendent? And what happened? Tell me the story.
Yeah, so I'd went about my first summer and, you know, because I'd really liked the job so much. So I'd went about the first summer and I kind of joked around about being everybody's supervisor and things of that sort. And my boss had actually, I was pulling weeds under a tree one day while I was helping a kid out with bunkers. And, you know, he pulled up to me and was like, "What you doing?" And I was like, "Oh, you know, just multitasking." And, you know, he drove off and he did a really quick U-ey and he turned back around. He was like, "If you really think you're everybody's supervisor, you have till the end of the day to make me a list of things that you think should be done around here." And then he drove off. So I spent all day making that list. I turned it into him and he was really ecstatic about the things that I came up with. And then later on in the year, we had gotten bought out by a pretty prevalent and wealthy man in the area. And it was during the winter, I believe, that Eric was walking around the shop and he was kind of conversating with us like, "You know, I need to find an official assistant now. You know, this is big time." And he'd walked back into his office and I kind of shot Colby a look and I was like, "I think I'm going to go talk to Eric." And me and Colby have already kind of talked about it before. And I went in there and I looked at Eric and I was like, "Hey, I'll go to college if you let me be your assistant." And he was like, "Yeah." And I didn't think that far ahead. It was kind of a shock to me. And I signed up for college that day and I never looked back.
And tell me about going back to college then. Given the education experience that you'd had previously, what was it like walking in through the doors of college on that first day and thinking about what was going to be required of you and given your past as well?
It was nostalgic, more or less. I mean, walking through the hallways and, you know, you see cork boards with flyers and you see banners all over and kids with book bags gossiping in the hallways, and I kind of had to take a step back, like, this is what I failed at just 3 years ago, you know, like, this is my chance to change it. And I really didn't know where to start. I just knew that I wanted to, you know, I was there for something that I chose to do. This, you know, this was the first time in my life that I chose to do anything that I loved. So, you know, now I have to make the choice to be good at it and succeed.
And what were you like? How would you describe yourself as a student second time around?
Overly ambitious. I work so hard at, you know, because getting good grades, if you apply for a job, not many superintendents are going to be like, "Give me your transcripts or show me your GPA. But it was a personal accomplishment for me going from a 2.1 GPA, a purely DNF student, to get all A's and occasional B's. And every opportunity that I saw, I jumped at. And, you know, I put in so much effort, and I realize that now, but, you know, my first semester, I didn't realize how much effort I was putting in because I was so passionate about it, and I had such a drive. I still have such a drive to be good and be successful at what I do. You know, it's not a job about making my own personal success to me. It's about showing other people what you can do if you apply yourself. You know, and that was a lesson for me to learn.
And talking about showing other people and inspiring other people, I think you go into schools now and colleges and talk to other misguided young people about your experience and show them actually how they can turn things around for themselves. Tell me about that.
It was around New Year's of this year. I was kind of looking back about where I came from and everything that I've done just in the past year alone. You know, I had 20 years of hardship, very hard things happened to me. And then the past year, like, I completely turned that around with, you know, all the supportive people in my life. And I was like, I want to spread that to other people. So I reached out. First, I reached out to my local high school and I went back and I apologized to all of my teachers that I might have raised a little bit of trouble for.
How did they respond to you coming back in and apologizing?
They were very overwhelmed. A lot of them didn't even recognize me just because in my high school days, I kind of wore a lot of makeup and I dyed my hair every other week. And, you know, I'm a completely different person. So a lot of them didn't recognize me. And, you know, once I told them who I was and I, you know, explained like, "Hey, I'm sorry for turning down your help and causing so much trouble for you. They were really overwhelmed, and one of them even cried. They were really thankful for that, and I was thankful for that too, just that I was able to, you know, kind of make up, in a sense, for what I did.
And what about the young people that you're speaking to now? How do they respond to your story and what you tell them?
I actually start speaking in August. So it's just the very beginning process of getting my speeches set up and these leadership teams I'm working with and coordinating with, getting them all together and getting us all on the same base so I can start this speaking opportunity. So I haven't spoke to any of them yet, but I hope that they respond well.
Have you had some public speaking opportunities before? Because I think you told me when we were chatting before that public speaking was something you'd never done before, but now you're pushing yourself forward to do that.
Yeah, no, it's actually something that I turned down. I get really hot and nervous in front of people, such as, you know, the Syngenta event. Even looking back, how scared I was to just go up and talk to people one-on-one, let alone in front of a whole group of people. But yeah, so, you know, this is one speaking opportunity. I'm also going to do a speech down at our field day at main campus OSU. I believe on some research study about turf grass. I'm not for sure what yet. And then I'll hold a panel at the Ohio Turf Grass Conference in December, speaking about student life. So I have a lot of speaking opportunities, and it's something I push myself to do because, like, even getting into the industry, it was so out of my comfort zone. Even going to college was out of my comfort zone. Coming here to my internships, out of my comfort zone. But all of these things, I've taken that leap, and it's proven to be greatness. And, you know, this is another leap that I can take. And not only can it be greatness for me, but it could be greatness for other people. I could change lives. I could make a difference.
So having been effectively a mentee, you see yourself potentially as a mentor in the future?
Yeah, I hope so.
But how important is that? You know, someone reaching to you and saying, you know, come along, let me show you the way. And I was just struck by what your boss, Eric, said was, send me a list, give me a list of what needs doing. You know, how does it feel to have that trust given to you, to know that, you know, your opinion and your insights and your thoughts count? How important is it to have that sort of relationship and have people come down and kind of and want to bring you along and do the best they can for you?
It feels like the roles are reversed because now I have people depending on me. You know, like, I let so many people down, and they might not think that, but I feel like that today, that I'd let so many people down in my past who were willing to help me get out of the situation I was in. And now I don't want to let these people down, you know, and I want to show, it doesn't matter where you come from, Gary. It doesn't matter what hardships you face. It's what you make out of it. I mean, you can take the path of easiest resistance, and it's something that I like to say all the time. You know, it's something that you've seen all the time. It's something you're used to. So you just head down that path. And a lot of times it's not a good path. Or you can put in the effort and you can put in the work. And you can become something bigger and better. And you can break the cycle of what you're used to.
Tell me a bit about your internship at the moment and what you're doing and the type of work you're doing and the teams that you're working with.
Yeah, so the biggest I'm at Barrington Golf Club up in Aurora, Ohio. So it's an hour and a half drive every day. But I've done a pretty broad range of things so far. This is the end of my second week. The biggest thing that I'm learning right now is social dynamics. Because I've only been exposed to one golf course work environment. And it's a completely different social dynamic than what I'm used to. You know, the crews that I've worked with the upper management, the middle management, and the lower management. And all of them have been so welcoming. And they are the hardest workers. I mean, they bust butt all day, and they genuinely care about their job. And it also shows me how important it is as a boss or as a manager how to communicate with your crew and how to treat them well and make them feel like, hey, you did this, and this looks great. You know, you're doing a great job. You know, those things are, to me, that's half of the job. You know, because your crew makes your golf course. you know, so you can go out and do the more important things. You know, they do things that are equally as important, but they can do it as a team, and they can divide and conquer, and it's important to treat them well, and it's important to make that known. As far as jobs go, I actually, the past 3 days, I've been hydro seeding, which is a brand new thing to me, and that's been super fun, but I'm also covered in green dye. I've got to cut cups, which I'm only used to cutting cups on push-up greens. And this time around, these are all USDA sand-based greens. So that's a different experience as well. And then I've also got to do some general mowing and then some loading with sand through backhoes and bunker renovations. So it's been a very busy 2 weeks, Gary.
Looking back over your time coming into turf, you know, tell me what, you know, among the achievements that you've made, what have been the, you know, the big achievements, do you think? What's given you most pleasure?
The things that everybody gets to do. Everybody gets to go to their state conferences and, you know, or they have the choice to. And everybody gets to or has the choice to go to GCSAA. But those things alone, meeting so many people in the industry who are also welcoming and all have such a passion for turf, and they all have their own backstory that is equally as intriguing as my own. And everybody's willing to share. Nobody has any secrets. And those have taught me so many things. You know, because you should walk into every conversation thinking, I want to get something out of this. You know, I want to learn something. Wake up every day, I want to learn something. And while I was out exploring during those two conferences, you know, I learned that it's okay to be kind to people just to be kind to people. You know, and it's okay to just help people even if they don't ask for it. And it's okay to talk in front of people. It's okay to meet new people. I've learned so many things socially. I mean, because we can look through textbooks all day, Gary, and we can learn everything you need to about any grass you need to. But the social dynamics are not taught. Those are things you have to learn. And you have to interpret on your own, because everybody interprets things differently. And I think those have been the biggest experiences for me, along with speaking at this school and doing my speech down in Columbus. And then also my mentors. Those aren't experiences within themselves. Just them alone have taught me so much and given me so much direction on where to go.
And what do you hope to achieve in your career?
In my career? I hope to be successful in my own terms, because everybody defines success differently. You know, just like Colby at Westbrook, he's the foreman. And he, in his own terms, he is successful, and he is. But, you know, like our professor asked us the first day of class, define success. And I told him, you can only be as successful as you are dedicated. So while balancing school life, family life, jobs, and all of the above, I have to put the determination in there to become as successful as I want to be. And I haven't defined my own success yet. Doors are opening every single day.
Well, Mahaley, it was absolute pleasure to meet you, to bump into you almost quite literally at the GCSAA conference in Orlando earlier this year. And it's a great privilege to speak to you now. And, you know, I think, as you say, your story probably resonates with many people in the turf industry, but it's... It's also a story of inspiration, and I hope, you know, we wish you all the very best and every success with what you're doing now and your future career.
Thanks, Gary. It was a pleasure to come on and be able to share my story and my own inspirations.
Mahaley Nemtuda, thanks very much for speaking to Syngenta Growing Golf.
Thank you.
Thank you to Mahaley Nemtuda. What a remarkable and inspiring young woman. Mahaley is modest, but her story is powerful. It also underlines how close-knit teams, mentors, and supportive families are central to the success of the turf industry. And isn't it inspiring that Mahaley is now going back to school to help other young people? Please do let us know your thoughts on this story and more by commenting on LinkedIn, Twitter, and at syngentagolf.com. Until next time, goodbye.